All right, tonight, I will actually give you the subject ahead of time. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. Let's start in verse 11. Psalm 34, 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Let's pray. Our great Father in heaven, again we thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it all comes together, how it all makes sense, even though it was written by many different people. Father, your Holy Spirit spoke to each one, and it all works together, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us, guide us, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, it's kind of funny. At least I think it's kind of funny. Right? Last Wednesday, Brother Stanley stood up here and said he wanted to start a series on fear. Of course, my ears perked up right away because the Lord had already spoken to me about what I was going to talk about. And he started talking about fear. Well, we're going to talk about the fear of the Lord, but the word fear here obviously used a little differently. Not being doubt outright afraid of the Lord, but having that healthy and reverence, healthy respect and reverence for the Lord. And it's also a good thing that the Bible teaches us what we need to know. I love it when the Bible comes out and it says what it's going to tell you. Right? God, through David, says that he is going to teach us the fear of the Lord. Right? Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Bang. Why do we care about the fear of the Lord? Well, what does that matter? Well, I got all those Bible verses I was talking about. There's several good reasons why we should fear the Lord. Let's start with Job 28:28. I'll let him get the first one, and then I'm going to breeze through them. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. You want to be wise, don't you? The fear of the Lord. That's what it gets you. Wisdom. Start of wisdom. You want to be wise? Well, how about this? Proverbs 19:23. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You want to live, don't you? Guess not. You want to live, don't you? Psalm 34:12, where we read, tells us the exact same thing. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Right? The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, is a fountain of life, tendeth to life. And then I got a few miscellaneous ones here. Psalm 19:9, right? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I guess they ignored that one when they threw prayer out and got out of school, huh? Yeah. And now look what's happening. Well, it's been happening for a while, but you know, it just seems to every new one just seems to ratchet it up a little bit more. And you got conspiracy theories, and you got blame this and blame that, and you know, if you would have just kept God in school, would we be talking about this today? You know, in the Lord, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You got nothing to worry about. If you're living in the fear of the Lord. Hey, these are some definitions or some benefits when it comes to fearing the Lord. It sounds great, right? Sign me up. But the tough question is, do you fear the Lord? Do you really fear the Lord? And I'm being serious. The Lord has talked to me about this a lot. Do I really fear the Lord? Do I respect the Lord enough to fear Him? Not be afraid of Him, but right, we have respect for Him. We talked in our Sunday school class a few weeks ago, and we talked in the adult class, I don't know, it might have been 2 or 3 years ago, I forget when. We talked about Babylon. We're talking about the Babylonian religion that still is in the world today. Right? And all these man-made false gods that are out there show that man has a fear of what a god can do to him, but he is not directly accountable to him, or it, or whatever you want to call it. Right? Brother Ahmed, I'm sure, can give us hundreds of stories. You know, he showed those pictures, and they got these things just out in the sidewalk, and there's food all around them, and people fear what this God can do to them, but are they really accountable to that God? That's the kind of God that we want. And our flesh wants, let me put it that way. That's the kind of God we want, right? Hey, He can do things for me, but I'm not accountable to Him. I can do whatever I want. That's the kind of God those idols are. All those man-made gods, that's exactly what they are. This God can do something for me. Yeah, I'm a little bit afraid to Him. I'll give Him some offering, some sacrifice, whatever. But bottom line is, I'm not accountable to Him. People live today as they please. Christians live today as they please. Mardi Gras. Just finished, right? A couple weeks ago. What a perfect example. A time of frivolity before a time of sacrifice. Woo! Let's go have fun and do whatever we want. And then get a little black mark on our forehead and be good the rest of the time. Please. Please. Where's that in the Bible? Where did God or Jesus ever teach anything like that? Nowhere. It's crazy. It's because man wants to do what man wants to do. And so, are we actually treating God Almighty this way? Are we treating God this way? Oh, Lord, please help me pass that test. As you smack the kid next to you. Seriously. Stuff like that is not fearing the Lord. That's not the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34 teaches us some things that show that we fear the Lord. All right, we read these things. You've heard these things before. Yeah, blah, 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 yak, oink, whatever. But really, think on these things. They might seem simple, but you can go a whole lot deeper than simple. Do we engage in these things? Do we skirt the edge of these things? Do we play around with these things? That's not fearing the Lord. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to break any of these things that we're going to go over. None of them. He will not lead you that way. And these things can show on the outside what's on the inside. And the Holy Spirit can use this to show us where we're wrong and lead us to repentance. Now, as we start to go into these things, here goes Brother Scott talking about this stuff again. The flesh is going to rise up, and it's going to say, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live. I am under grace. Agreed. If you're born again, you're under grace. But can I show you a biblical example of grace? In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Any of the guys who go through Awana should know that one, right? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The fear of the Lord starts with denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. I try to bring it all together, right? Let's go back to Psalm 34. Number one, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Number one, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That's okay. That's a tough one. Protect your tongue. Watch what you say. Engage your brain before your mouth. Better to remain silent on the thought of fool than to speak and remove all doubt. I don't care. Whatever you think, if you fear the Lord, you're going to watch what you say. You have to. You will offend somebody. You'll offend God. You'll do something. My mouth has gotten me in more trouble than I care to say, and probably everyone else here could say the same thing. We have to watch what we say. Now, sometimes, I read a word in the Bible and I think I know what it means, right? Well, what in the world is guile? In context, you kind of understand what guile is. Obviously, it's not speaking properly or doing well or saying something you should or not say. So what exactly is guile? So, praise the Lord for dictionaries. Craft, cunning, deceit, usually in a bad sense. Well, is cunning and deceit anything but a bad sense? I don't know. Anyway, that's what it is. Guile, speaking craftily or cunningly or deceitfully. That's deceit in your, or that's speaking with guile or guile in your lips. Do you fear the Lord? Then don't lie! Why is this society so stuck on lying? Quit lying to me, quit lying to your parents, quit lying to yourself, and quit lying to God. Quit lying. Don't bear false witness. Is that not one of the Ten Commandments? Oh, it's just a little white lie. Yeah, whatever. Man, it's so prevalent today. People say they don't lie, but do they ever think about the word guile that we just went over? I bet they don't. I have to admit, reading my Bible got me to think about it more than I ever had before. Crafty, cunning, deceitful speech is everywhere. Think of those football coaches. High-profile jobs coming up. So-and-so coach, he's already head coach of another team, but he's going to go take that bigger job. So-and-so coach comes up to the podium, press conference, whatever. I have not talked to anybody at that school. I love my job here. I'm not going anywhere. Craftily, I mean, that's crafty. That's designed speech. You might not have talked to somebody, but I know you got an agent. Right? They got an agent. They got agents that do this work for them. They don't do all the talking up front. Sure, he loves his job there. He wouldn't have been there if he didn't. All clever and crafty and right where and then, you know, 2 weeks later, so-and-so's leaving for that job. Our politicians are really good at it. I have Twitter. I read tweets. And I guess I should stop because I don't know if there's anything on there but guile. One side says this, one side says that. You know, what do they call it? Propaganda, whatever you want to call it. It's just crazy. It's crazy. We've got to watch our mouth. We've got to watch what we say. This should not be a characteristic of a Christian because it certainly wasn't a characteristic of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:22 tells us, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus was not crafty and cunning and deceitful. Neither should we be. Of course, James gives us the best example of our tongue. Right? Psalm 34 tells us to keep our tongue from evil. And James says that out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. I love that saying. Ought not so to be. On Sunday we praise the Lord, and on Monday we curse the person that cuts us off. Ought not so to be. And I'm talking to me too. We shouldn't gossip. We shouldn't gossip even in the form of a prayer request. It's sufficient to ask for prayer for somebody, but you don't have to give all the juicy details. I don't need to know. This person needs prayer, I pray for them. I don't need to know all the intimate details that got them into that situation. Even think about this. We shouldn't speculate about something or someone out loud. I wonder if he did that because, or I wonder if she did that because, there's a good way to start some gossip. So-and-so said that he did that because... Come on now, watch your mouth. Gossip is evil. Cursing is evil. Right? Cursing does not serve a good purpose, and it shows our lack of fear of the Lord. Why do you have to say those words anyway? A long time ago, society deemed certain words to be evil. Not so much today. We just throw those words around like, meh. Disgusting, degrading, evil words that we throw around like they're no big deal. We need to avoid it. Got to avoid it. Along with that, using God's name in vain. Another commandment. Why do we do this? God's name is to be revered and hallowed. It is not to be used nonchalantly in our daily talk. Yeah, I'm going there. Don't even get me started on OMG. Right? Some of the teens are finding that out. If I start to hear them say, oh my, my ears just, ooh, The hairs in the back of my head just stand up. I don't care if you say goodness. I don't care if you say gosh. I don't care if you say word. It's wrong. Word, Jesus is the word. Gosh is just another form of God. So is goodness. Starts with the same two letters. Come on now. Get rid of it. I know, that's one of my soapbox things. I apologize. I hate it when I hear, oh my, and then just, try to substitute a word for God, but your meaning is clear and you're still using His name in vain. We need to fear the Lord. We've got to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from guile. Think before you speak, right? So, such an easy concept, but so difficult to do. We've got to have respect to the people that we're talking with, and we have to keep our mind on pleasing the Father. Then we will show that we fear the Lord. Ooh. Number two in verse 14. Verse 14, depart from evil. Depart from evil. Run away. If you fear the Lord, you're going to avoid evil. Can you pull up Job 1:1, please? Job 1:1. I didn't put this one in here, and I'm too lazy to turn. Job. You remember Job, right? There we go. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. The two go together. Fearing God and hating evil, eschewing evil, they go together. Just like God is teaching through David here in Psalm 34. Depart from evil. Right? Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then there's a colon after that. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Now I like this verse because of that little colon, because it tells us some things that are evil. Pride and arrogance are evil. The froward mouth is evil. We kind of talked about that, right? And of course, the evil way is evil. It's wrong. These are things that we need to avoid and things we need to depart from. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just evil, but appearance of evil. Anything that appears to be evil. Non-alcoholic wine? Non-alcoholic beer? Appears evil. I'm sure you can think of many others. What exactly is evil, some people might say? Good old Webster's 1828 dictionary says, moral evil is any deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God or by legitimate human authority, or it is any violation of the plain principles of justice and rectitude. Any deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed by God. Here's your prescription right here. Oop, there goes half my Bible. All right, it's a good prescription. All right, that's your prescription. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We might not like to think of it this way, but breaking God's commands is sin. That's deviating from the moral precept that's been given to us. Sin is evil. Yeah, we could think of some evil stuff. Murder, abortion, adultery, Satanism, child abuse, stealing, drugs, conspiracy. Yeah, man, those things are evil. What about disobeying parents? Speeding, cheating, white lies, drinking, selfishness, skipping church. If you go by that definition, those things are evil. Even withholding good is considered evil in James 4:17, right? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is evil. If you fear the Lord, you're going to depart from all evil, even the ones you think are just, well, that's not that bad. All right, also in verse 14, number 3, do good. All right, depart from evil and do good. All right, so we get away from the bad stuff. Now let's look at the good stuff, right? Let's do good. We need to do good. If you fear the Lord, you will do good. You should do moral works, right? These are actions that are just and in conformity to the moral law of divine precepts. Again, right? Things that are in here. The Lord tells us to do things, and we do them. That's good. We pray, we read, we witness, we tithe, we love our neighbors, we praise and thank God. These are good things. And they show our conformity to God's word. You know, good also does that which contributes to diminish or remove pain. Contributes to diminishing or removing pain. Or to increase happiness or prosperity. Of course, opposed to evil or misery. We stand up for what's right. That's good. We provide assistance to someone that is struggling. That's good. We encourage and celebrate a friend's success. That's good. Excuse me. But do we do good to those that hate us? Oh. Man, I do all this stuff. I read, I pray, I help people, I celebrate with my friends. Oh, but do you do good to those that hate you? Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you. Ouch. Man, we're going good until we get to that part, right? Proverbs 25:21-22, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. That shows you fear the Lord when you do good to those that hate you. It's easy to do good to those that love us and that we love, but it's difficult to do good to our enemies. But we have to. We can't just do half the job. It's good to all, not to just those we love. We have to remember that God does good to those who are unthankful and evil towards Him all the time. God brings the rain on the just and the unjust. Ephesians 2:10, of course, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We must do good works, not to be saved, of course, not to be saved, but because we are saved. And this means doing good to all and not just a select few. If you fear the Lord, you will do good and do good to all. And finally, in verse 14, we'll stop here with this last one. Verse 14 again, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Search, inquire, and proceed for peace. If you fear the Lord, then you're looking for peace. Of course, the first step to peace is salvation. Right? You are an enemy of God until you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? We are sinners, we are evil to begin with, and we need to call upon the Lord to be saved. That's the first step in peace. We must be born again. But also, peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Now, I don't know if you remember this, but in a previous sermon, I said that peace, and this comes from RU, peace is to be safe from harm in your spirit, mind, and body. You know, how do we seek this peace and pursue it? Well, that's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Seeking peace means we're careful for nothing. You know, we're not worried about stuff. We're not worried about what's going to happen. We're not worried about the future. Our peace is in God. We're careful for nothing. Right? We're careful for nothing also like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They weren't careful to answer the king. We're careful for nothing. We trust in God, we live in the Spirit, we honor His Word, and we will have nothing to worry about. We are seeking peace. All right, and it's also important to pray with the Lord, talk with God humbly and earnestly with thanksgiving, as it says in Philippians 4. When the Bible says here that it's a peace that passes all understanding, well, I can't understand it. I can't explain it to you. I can only say that it's just there and it works. It will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we're fearing the Lord, we're seeking peace. This will show that we fear the Lord because this really shows that we're relying on Him. All right, so let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. Musicians coming. Do you fear the Lord? Do you really fear the Lord? Do you really care that God sees everything that you do and that you will give an account to Him someday? You are accountable to God. Whether you're saved or not saved, you are accountable to God. And God gave us a formula here. Are we watching our mouth? Are we running away from evil as fast as we can? Are we doing good to all? And are we seeking and pursuing peace?